Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Welcome to the Mr. Beacon podcast. So we've got an Earth-friendly episode today, still very much focused on IoT. I'm going to be talking with Ollie Smeg, who is the co-CEO at Sodak. Sodak are based in the Netherlands. They are an IoT device company that are focusing on sustainable devices using supercapacitors, energy harvesting, solar energy to light up the edge. And he's got a great perspective on how that can help profit and planet, and certainly opened my ideas to some design patterns that we've been thinking about here, and hopefully you will too. So enjoy this Earth-friendly IoT episode. The Mr. Beacon podcast is sponsored by Wiliot, intelligence for everyday things, powered by IoT Pixels. Ollie, thanks very much for joining us on the show today.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm honored to be here.
Yeah, I was very interested in your obvious passion for the environment. So, I'm thinking this conversation will be themed around sustainability and IoT, which I think is super important. We're both sitting here with Europe being ravaged by just bizarrely high temperatures. And, I was driving up to San Francisco from San Diego when we were hitting 106 and just degrees Fahrenheit, and that was just felt like not good. So that's the backdrop to our conversation. Let's start off with just introduce us to your company. What do you do?
So Sodak is a company based out of Hilversum, town near Amsterdam in the Netherlands. We're a very hardware focused company within the space of IoT. So for the past 9 years, we've done over 250 different engineering projects, building products either for ourselves or for our clients, mainly focused on tracking and sensing applications. We really have a focus on low power and making devices autonomous. So either operating by solar power or another form of energy harvesting, and also very, of course, closely related to Wiliot, and that's how we found you guys. We have basically a specific model in which we work, whereby we basically build the IP around, especially now, asset tracking. With our clients, develop new features, and then make those available in our product range. And the last 2 years or so have been really focused on really becoming more of a balanced company between projects and products, growing especially the projects part. And really proud of doing asset tracking for example, Krone, which is the largest truck trailer manufacturer in Europe. And that's just one key client that's now rolling out every single trailer of a few different types with our trackers on them. So that's a bit about us.
Great. Go ahead.
Yeah, so maybe just a bit about the size of the company. So we're with 40 staff, of which approximately half are embedded hardware and software and industrial design engineers. yeah, we're very engineering heavy. And in our collaborations, we really, you know, work closely with companies that are more focused on data analysis or on, you know, a specific vertical where we, you know, take away the struggles that come with hardware.
This is great. I need to put you in touch with our engineering team. You know, we're looking at IoT and we have these tiny postage stamp sized computer devices, but people can kind of think of, oh, okay, job done. But that's really not the case. It's all about the link to the cloud, the edge. And I think increasingly we need standards and ways of collaborating so that the software, you know, it's equally important to have really great software running on the edge. And especially when you go to millions, billions, trillions of devices, you can't just do it on the in the cloud and do it on the tag. You need to have software that's regulating the flow and being intelligent about forwarding to the cloud. Otherwise, the cloud costs just go through the roof. And so, you know, I'm really hoping to see standards emerge in that area. You know, the folks we've got 6G is on the horizon, and I'm hoping that that starts to make all of our lives easier by introducing some new standards. But I'm kind of veering off the topic, but I was excited to hear what you're doing. So, you know, why do you need to develop? Why do we need more devices? Don't we have enough devices? What are the gaps in the market that SODAC is filling?
So on the first you know, the first thing I think of when you ask that question is the fact that if you make a device with a battery, for example, I mean, as you guys know as well, then there's battery replacement required, which brings along certain operational costs. When you look at many use cases that are out in the open, where you have cellular connectivity or, let's say, proprietary standard like LoRaWAN, or even Bluetooth, then if you attach a solar panel to a device, you can have a device that, especially when using supercapacitors, which is something that we're doing as well, you can have a device that lasts pretty much forever. This significantly brings down the operational costs, and I think finally could be the breakthrough for many use cases that were previously cost inhibitive. I think that's the main thing. And besides that, we are able to do more and more with the available processing power within that little amount of energy that we want to use. So there's a continuous, you know, possibility to improve software and add things like, you know, machine learning on the device, pattern recognition, and using tools to basically get data out of your device you didn't know you could get before. And then lastly, in the material use, there's going to be an endless opportunity for improvement. So right now we still use plastics, we still use FR4 materials. Those should not be used in the future if we're looking at, let's say, trillions of devices. And so we're innovating with our clients, especially the ones that are aware of, you know, what strain we're having on the environment.
That's cool. You talked about supercapacitors. What is a supercapacitor?
So rather than a battery storage, which is more of a chemical process of storing and releasing energy, which for example is found in the lithium batteries in your smartphone, we're using hybrid capacitors, which in some cases use lithium, some cases use graphene, which store them in more of a, let's say, metallic way. And that way not deteriorating in quality over time. And so the market doesn't know about them sufficiently yet, but once we reach those volumes, actually they could compete in price with lithium batteries, and the technology is developing in such a way that the energy density is actually starting to get close to lithium batteries as well. So it's a no-brainer.
What sort of capacity can you have in a supercapacitor? I mean, we have capacitors like on our chip, we have capacitors. So capacitors can be very small. How big can they get?
So I can actually show you one. I'll just bring in this device here. What you see inside here is, I see this one's actually missing the supercapacitor.
That's a little bit disappointing, but basically what you'll see in like a typical sort of just slightly larger than AA battery is that you can store you know, somewhere around the equivalent of 3000 milliampere hours. And yeah, that's starting to replace similar sized batteries.
And what was that device that we got a glimpse of there?
So actually, this is our first commercially launched product with supercapacitor. So this is a solar-powered device that measures on millimeter accuracy the position in 3D on construction sites. And so because they're always outside, there's plenty of sunlight and power available. And we use these to predict when depositing sand, for example, for a foundation on a building site or when building a bridge, how quick the sand is sinking. And in that way, we can predict months in advance when a building project can start, saving costs on, let's say, permits and renting equipment and everything. So, and also automating the process where you traditionally would see people with those lasers or those tripods with the cameras. We've basically digitalized that along with one of our data analysis partners.
And what is the positioning technology that you use to do that?
So we're using a combination of a GPS and post-processing in the cloud and national models of GPS. So it's like a raw GPS format whereby you can actually, using the timings and the other data coming in from the GPS and knowing some fixed points in the surroundings, actually detect much more accurately changes in position.
Amazing. So what sort of accuracy are we talking about?
It's 3 millimeters in X and Y and 5 millimeters in Z. So basically, it's not comparable to traditional GPS.
No. And you talked earlier about trailers. That's something that I'm really interested in. We've recently been deploying IoT pixels, these tags in inside cooler trailers. They go on produce, and you know, I think there's huge environmental opportunities to reduce waste in perishable products. And part of it is measuring the flow. And normally, you know, you'd expect a first in, first out, even flow of products on the way from the farm to the store. And we found out that's actually not the case. And, you know, who knew? Until you actually start tagging individual crates and items, then there's anecdotal evidence, but there's no data to really see that. And so we're starting to see that. And the other thing that we've started to see is that within a cooled trailer, the there are microclimates that vary really significantly. And so you can have like bananas at the front will be frozen. In the middle, they'll be at the right temperature, cooled, other cooled products that should be kept at a certain temperature can be too warm. And then, you know, that can result in all sorts of health problems. So anyway, the long and the short of it is having devices that can establish communications within a trailer and outside a trailer, I think are really, really valuable. So is that the kind of thing that you're doing, or what are you doing with trailers?
So I'll make a little rotation here. So you'll see this device that's right here. It's the same solar panel as on the other device that I just showed. And so this unit actually goes on the top of a trailer, and it communicates its position and it communicates whenever it has any slight motion, you know, temperature inside. But also, very importantly, it can actually receive signals from Bluetooth tags. So, you know, where you would in some of our use cases, we would, for example, have that when a trailer is entering the warehouse and you, let's say, have 10 of those warehouse slots, there will be beacons on each warehouse slot, and we'll detect which warehouse slot, which trailer has entered. And you'll be surprised how, you know, many companies don't even know where their trailers are, you know, on that scale.
These are big things, but who knew you could lose them? But apparently you can.
So you know, the they would call what you would call the horse, or the, let's say, the driving part of the vehicle has tracking capabilities inside, but then a piece of paper somewhere or an app where someone has to manually fill something in links the trailer to it. And so, you know, our clients are not accepting, or the clients of our client, Krone, are not accepting any longer to have trailers without actually tracking functionality built in.
That is interesting. So, I mean, I don't know how many trailers there are in the world, containers and trailers. There must be millions.
There's millions. Just for this product alone, I think there's something like 15,000 trailers being produced on a yearly basis of one, you know, specific type that they have. So you can imagine that one company alone is doing maybe 100,000 trailers a year. So it's significant.
Very good. And so what proportion of the trailers in the world do you think are online, and what's the, you know, how far have we got in this evolution? I'm guessing we're in the early stages.
Definitely. Yeah. So I would say not even a 10th of a percent. I think that would even be outrageously high. So ways to go, but for us, that's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an incredible opportunity. And I am really, glad that we're talking, because this is an important part of it. We're starting to tag things in the field and in the distribution center, in the store, but there's the there's the journey in between, which is super challenging. And it sounds like you've got some technology that will fill that gap. Any other what are the other kinds of projects that you've been working on to add connectivity?
I think most interestingly, we've recently started scaling up what you would call the monitoring of ground support equipment on airports. So as you've been seeing probably that because of COVID, there was a period of having to let go of staff on airports, and now the traffic has picked up. And so airports can't keep up with where all the stuff around the airport is moving. And also they cannot afford to purchase so many additional trolleys and containers and cargo containers and such. So what we're doing is, together with one of our data analysis partners, we're actually helping transportation and logistics companies that, you know, do air freight, as well as the airports themselves, to monitor all the equipment and to advise them on how to more efficiently plan the routes. So going from point A to B to C, or going straight from A to C and then to B, what is the most time efficient, even if that saves a few minutes, can lead to millions of euros on an annual basis for an airport.
Yeah, there are staff shortages everywhere, and we won't get into why there are staff shortages, but there surely are. And it seems like we're wasting so much time trying to find things, and if we can optimize that, then everyone's going to be a lot happier. I spent a week with an old college friend, and it took him 3 days to get his bags after his trip from London to San Francisco, and it just seemed like there's chaos going on at the moment in the handling of cargo.
Definitely, and something that technology can definitely solve. And there's also, you know, some dream projects, let's say, that we're trying to find innovative solutions for. So there's this kind of type of container called an IBC, which is basically it holds liquid. It's about a 1x1x1 meter container with a metal frame around it and a plastic liquid container in the middle. Now, there's companies that are producing millions of these containers on an annual basis, shipping them to their clients and not bringing them back, because the value of bringing that container back is lower than the cost of finding it and transporting it. And so what we've done is we've actually made a version of our tracker with a radar module that can detect the fill level of those containers. And by adding that marketing element to our client, that they can tell their client, your product is almost empty, you want to buy a new or you want to get a new set, then we can actually activate that client to start tracking, and then getting the reverse logistics will be worth it because they will know where it is. At least that searching part will be removed.
Yeah, that's fascinating, because we see the same pattern only on a microscopic scale. We're looking at the containers in people's pantries and being able to instrument those. And this is where economics and sustainability can converge. I think you can enable whole new business models, subscription business models, which can be a lot more efficient. And if we can make reusable containers, whether they're these massive containers for liquid that you were describing, or small containers for soap and herbs and spices and all these things, if we can bring intelligence to them, then I think that it will support an economic model that will reduce waste and be more efficient. And so I'm so pleased that you're doing this work, because it makes me more hopeful about solving these massive problems that that we have.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So what is your business model? How do you make money?
What we originally came from was mainly custom developments for our clients. So a company would come to us. For example, this is a really cool one. It's a Dutch company that wanted to track cattle, and it's a solar powered ear tag basically for cows. We don't sell those, but we were requested to develop it. So we're the development house, let's say. Now, that's on an hourly basis. We get paid for the engineering work we do. Second model is we have our tracking solutions, the products we've built mainly for asset tracking, and those we're actually selling. And then we have a model also on an annual basis, for the data and the support.
Okay, so pretty well rounded. That's great. So anything else that we should cover? You're doing a lot, and I like the look into the future. Where do you see all of this going? What gets you excited about the future?
So what gets me most excited is actually the impact reporting that we're starting to do for our clients. So really connecting that deployment of IoT to the cost savings and environmental savings, and then motivating more companies to do the same. And like you said, the economics and the sustainability will go hand in hand. I also wore this sweater. This is our very proud
world-friendly IoT.
That's
fantastic.
That's our tagline. So we're really, really focused on that. And we're expanding our team and really strengthening the team to be able to make that possible. I think in terms of products that we're most excited about, you may have heard some things about these smart labels that we've been developing. So these are actually cellular connected with printed batteries and antennas and seals that you can place on the seam of a box. So this is something that we're really pushing at the moment, because we see that costs are, of course, for many use cases inhibitive. And
describe that, because so a lot of people will be listening to this and can't see what you're holding, but it's the size of a letter. It's kind of a sheet which has a couple of large panels. So are those the printed batteries? What are those things?
Correct. So the majority of the size of the product in, let's say, length and width are the printed battery. But the advantage of this printed battery is that if you view it from the side, it's paper thin. So it's actually printed like a book would be printed in layers.
Yes.
And this is the first type of battery that can support cellular connectivity, which requires quite a high peak current. And we've basically engineered the hardware. This is already an older version, to be able to use so little power that we can actually use printed batteries.
And how long will that last?
So this will do about 500 messages. So and what's really important for this is that we're creating a model whereby the product can actually be sent back. So here you're just seeing the core electronics, but the whole product will have multiple layers which can be taken apart, and the reverse logistics of getting the product back and recycling the battery and reusing the electronics for a new one is something that we're all setting up.
Very interesting. And we're doing something similar. We're battery-free Bluetooth. That's for sure our core and where we'll always be. But we have been working with printed batteries and announced something recently, which is the size of a business card, which will last 4 years and broadcast a unique ID. And so I can see some interesting synergies there. You take a Bluetooth system on chip that's super efficient, and you can have a tiny battery that lasts really a long time and drives the cost down to, hopefully one day it'll be like a dollar for this thing, and you won't have to worry about whether you can harvest energy or not. To be clear, I think it could be super disruptive, but I think battery free is still where it's at, and that's where we'll see the major volume in what we do. I want to go back to something that you were touching on, just make it a bit, double click on it. Do you see opportunities to measure carbon, carbon footprint of products? Maybe I was over reading what you were saying, but this is something that I think is a really interesting area where, a lot of the carbon footprint accounting that is done for products is kind of modeled and it's theoretical. And where I'm interested in things going is actually measuring actual carbon footprint for assets and products as they move around. Are you seeing anything in that area?
Definitely. So when I was referring to the impact reporting and the impact analysis mm-hmm. we do, in the first point, we look at a balance, right? So we're actually creating electronics, which has a negative environmental impact. And this negative environmental impact needs to, of course, be massively outweighed by the positive impact that we're having by, for example, a tank container filled with, let's say, a certain liquid going from location A to B, and then not going empty from B to C, but rather some platform connects a new buyer and seller and ensures that transportation is always full. And so kind of detecting how many kilometers are being driven by full versus an empty container because of the tracking device we apply to it, reporting on that will be able to significantly improve certain use cases of our clients and make them more sustainable. And I think in terms of carbon, the output of, let's say, or the fuel that's used by these vehicles, if we can reduce that, we can directly correlate that to carbon emissions.
And what do you think will be done with that data. Obviously, you can use it for optimizing routes and hold yourself accountable. Anything else that can be done with that data?
So you can actually, if you're looking more at the economic side, if you're somehow saving carbon emissions, that has value as well. So, in the form of, let's say, carbon credits or so, it can be used for that. On the other hand, we're actually using the data to show to other customers what the value is. So using data as a form of marketing is very powerful as well.
Yeah, I wonder, as companies are being held to higher sustainability standards, ESG standards, and as customers want to know more about the carbon footprint of the products, I think there's a future where getting these actuals can be ultimately be shared with consumers, especially consumers that have a shopping with mobile apps and looking at electronic shelf labels that potentially can show more data. You can imagine looking at the carbon footprint of the products you have in the store. And I know this has already been done. There's been experiments, but I think it's been very theoretical. What I'm talking about is showing actual carbon footprint to buyers of products, which can eventually roll up into their own carbon accounting. If you're a company, you have to measure your, what they call scope 3 emissions, then I'm thinking where this is going is pricing and taxation and all sorts of economic levers that will drive more efficiencies and reward people for doing the right thing.
Yeah, I think also in terms of transparency, if everyone in the chain has access to this type of data, then there will be no way around it. It really has to be seamless. Consumers, once they're informed, they're the most powerful. So if we can enable them to make better decisions, then everyone wins at the end of the day.
So Ollie, how did you get to do what you're doing? What's your story?
So I think what definitely shaped me the most is growing up in Tanzania in East Africa.
So where are you at the moment?
I'm in Hilversum in the Netherlands, so near Amsterdam, like right between Utrecht and Amsterdam.
Okay.
And actually there's an international school here in Hilversum. So I ended up, with my family moving to Hilversum because of that. And that's why the company is also here. So grew up in Tanzania, lived there for about 14 years, and really got in touch with the concept of monitoring the weather. Spent quite some years as well, taking technology for weather monitoring and doing installations across different African countries.
And what's the story behind that? Why weather? What captured your imagination?
So I think growing up, we did a lot of outdoor sports, including sailing. And also spent a lot of time in the outdoors, going to different wildlife parks and such. And we were requested to kind of do some weather monitoring on a few farms in Tanzania, because we were actually doing the same thing for our sailing activities at the local sailing club. That's how we got involved with this type of technology. I've always been working together with my father since I was a kid.
And what does your father do? What was he doing in Tanzania?
So my father was actually stationed there by the Dutch government to help to install the country or connect the country to the internet for the first time.
Oh, amazing. What a landmark thing to be doing.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Okay, so you're in Tanzania, you're monitoring the weather, and take us from there.
So due to wanting to go to university and having better education here in the Netherlands, we decided to move back as a family, and we still had some connection there. And while we were working on those weather monitoring projects on farms, we discovered that this low power Arduino-based technology could really be used for replacing, let's say, Linux type, high power computing systems for these types of weather monitoring stations. And then by making that move to these low power, low cost systems, we discovered there was a whole world of, you know, demand for these type of applications. So actually my whole career, I've been working with hardware and with sensors. We kind of branched off in two ways. So my father started to focus more on different types of applications, doing projects such as water level and water quality monitoring, while I continued on the path of weather monitoring. And we actually joined forces again later in what is SODAC today. So we work together very, very closely.
So you're the CEO, right?
Yes.
So now you're your father's boss.
Exactly. And we have managed now to set it up in a way that actually we don't work together directly anymore.
Okay.
Because it's nice to be able to also speak about other things than just work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
wonderful. And so, how big is your company now?
So we're with 40 staff at the moment.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
How did you get to start the company? Was it did you have to raise funds, or what's the evolution to founding SODAC?
So we actually started with a Kickstarter. So in the early days with discovering microcontrollers, we basically said if we can connect a weather sensor with a solar panel and a communication module to the internet, we could probably do that for many use cases. And so from the start, we had this credo of sustainable IoT and doing things with, a solar energy harvesting. And we basically promoted on Kickstarter that with our development kit, anybody would be able to create their own solar powered solution. And that got us started.
Brilliant. Very good. Well, it's come to the point in the show where I need to talk to you about music. What was the process like for you coming up with your three songs?
So actually, I like a lot of different type of music. So I thought, let me show a little bit of that very variety in what I like. Also, music has so many different meanings in my life. I think, first of all, I would say the song Stairway to Heaven is one of the most meaningful songs in my life. Actually, my music teacher growing up really, showed me the beauty of the way it was composed and everything. But now I actually have it as my alarm in the morning, and many alarms tire me, but this song is probably never gonna get old. So actually it works really well in getting me charged up for the day. That was the first one. Secondly, I grew up in East Africa, and the hip hop scene there, and listening to MTV growing up, really I was a big fan of Notorious B.I.G. So the song Juicy by Notorious B.I.G. it's a very soulful track, but I love the way he raps as well. So that says more about my own musical taste. I like to make music as well. So
what do you play?
Hip hop is. So I play the saxophone and I sing and rap. So I'm actually doing that in sometimes in my evenings.
Awesome.
And then lastly, related to saxophone, there's an artist called Mr. Sax, and he has a song called No Man No Cry. And actually I think it was last New Year's, I was staying over with some friends. And we had a really fun night. And at some point I went to sleep, but some of my friends didn't. And so the first song I heard in the morning while they were still going on after all those hours that I had actually slept was No Man No Cry by Mr. Sax. That was definitely a highlight musically.
Awesome. Well, those are great choices. Thanks. Thanks, Ollie. Ollie, thanks very much for introducing us to your company, and let's continue the discussion after this about how we can collaborate.
Thank you so much, Steve. I really appreciate it, and looking forward to continuing our conversations.
Very good. So that was Ollie. Super interesting guy. I wanted to spend more time with him. I'm hoping that I get to travel to Netherlands and get to meet him and hear some of his rapping, as well as see some of the amazing devices that his company are developing. I hope this has inspired you and that you learned as much as I did in talking to him. Thanks very much for sticking with us, for listening to the whole thing. There aren't many completer finishes out there, and so we appreciate that you're one of that elite group. Do rate us, comment, share, help the cause. This is pretty niche what we're doing, so we need you to spread the word. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.